Mortgage rates are at a 50-year low. Great time to buy, if you can. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage fell below 3% this week, according to mortgage finance company Freddie Mac. This is the first time that has happened in the past 50 years. You can bet some people are refinancing the heck out of their existing mortgages. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
To lock in these low rates, Fannie Mae chief economist Doug Duncan says people will refinance almost $2 trillion worth of mortgages this year and could refinance another trillion in 2021.
Those are huge volumes of people taking advantage of an opportunity to lower their monthly costs.
Banks and mortgage companies earn fees when people refinance. But Duncan says companies have had trouble keeping up with demand. If by next year companies figure out how to better handle the wave of refinancing, he says,
mortgage rates are probably likely to get in the 2.75% range.
Not everyone can take advantage of low rates. And with the pandemic, there aren't many homes for sale right now for anyone looking to buy. Mark Fleming is chief economist at First American.
Everyone's in big bidding wars over the few that are out there.
Fleming says homeowners don't have many incentives to sell when they can lock in cheap rates too. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
There are a few companies that have done really well in the pandemic. Netflix, for example, it added 10 million subscribers in the second quarter ending in June and made more than $6 billion in revenue. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with more. So, Nova, Netflix is just streaming all the way to the bank or what?
Well, yes and no. Yes, it's doing well. People are stuck at home and they're shelling out money to subscribe. But the company says subscriber growth will slow this quarter. It expects about 2.5 million new subscribers. We spoke about that with Natalie Jarvie, senior digital media editor at The Hollywood Reporter. And she said in the long run, Netflix is still well positioned.
They're benefiting from the overall shift to streaming. They're kind of like the Kleenex of the streaming wars. You know, everyone wants to have Netflix, and, you know, then maybe they'll supplement other services like a Disney Plus or a Peacock or an HBO Max.
So 2.5 million new subscribers. Yes, that's below analyst expectations, but overall, they're still the biggest player out there.
Netflix made another big announcement. It's elevating its programming chief to co-CEO. Co-CEO, that is not something you see every day.
No, programming chief Ted Sarandos will run the company alongside founder Reed Hastings. This is a sign of just how important Sarandos is and how important programming is for Netflix's growth. Sarandos has been the architect of that pipeline of original material. Here's Jarvie again.
For the last several years, in some ways, you could look at it that Reed Hastings has been running Netflix from Los Gatos, the headquarters, and Ted Sarandos has been running Netflix from Hollywood, the content headquarters.
And to give you a sense of the scale of Sarandos's power in Hollywood, Netflix spent $15 billion on original content last year. That's slightly ahead of AT&T, which owns the Time Warner media empire.
Oh, wow. All right, Nova, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.3% to 1% range, with the Dow future up 84 points. A lot more people have started paying attention to structural economic racism in the past few months. Companies, too. Many have been assessing their own hiring practices and diversity or lack thereof in their workforces. Arthur Woods is co-founder of a diversity recruitment company, Matheson, which helps other companies recruit people of color and people from other groups underrepresented in corporate America. He says business is booming. Good morning, Arthur.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Supreme.
So you help companies recruit diverse talent. There's certainly a lot of pressure now for companies to look like they're doing that. But what's the business case for doing so?
Well, you know, there's been now over a decade of research that's proven companies that build a diverse workforce not only outperform other companies in the market, they retain their employees much longer and achieve a significantly better culture. So almost at every metric, there is a strong return on investment for building diversity in their workforce.
How's business been for you guys?
You know, it's interesting. Going into COVID, we were a little bit worried because, you know, we saw so many organizations institute hiring freezes, you know, even perform layoffs. But in the last month alone, we have seen more demand from Matheson than the entire last year combined. We've had over 400 organizations reach out to us in the last 4 weeks. And, you know, I think building representation in the workforce, ensuring that there's especially greater representation among management has been, I think, top of mind for almost every single corporate leader.
Once you hire a diverse workforce, that doesn't mean your workforce is going to stay that way.
Right.
I mean, what do you do?
Well, that's absolutely right. You know, we see organizations that have instituted plans for diversity hiring actually failing to retain in advance those very job seekers. Among underrepresented populations, retention oftentimes is a huge issue because, you know, individuals step into an organization, they don't receive mentorship and support from other leaders. They don't see leaders at the top of the organization, so they wonder, is there a place for me here? They might enter cultures that have significant bias or microaggression, and those are all really good reasons to leave, right? If an individual's not feeling a sense of belonging. So we believe it's just as important for organizations to be building out plans for diversity hiring as it is for them to be instituting programs, you know, mentorship, executive sponsorship, career development, creating mechanisms for capturing feedback, really being able to create systems to ask people how they're doing. Without those systems and structures in place, we almost see that there's a hole at the bottom of organizations that isn't going to be sustainable for their diversity goals.
Arthur Woods is co-founder of the diversity recruiting platform Matheson. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Sabrine.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Alex Schroeder. Our engineers are Brian Allison, Jay Siebold, and Charlton Thorpe. In New York, I'm Sabrine Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.